cliffcentral.com.
It's the weekend, baby!
Yes, it is. Are you ready for the weekend? It's Friday morning. Yay, everybody's excited because it is the weekend. Ben sent me a picture of Meowses last night. I see Meowses actually doesn't mind the drone. I mean, they were sitting together and these are your two favorite things.
Well,
are they getting along?
With Daniela being away from work as she is this time of year, the three of us have been hanging. But it's quite funny because I realized something yesterday when my memory dies on my phone. I've run out of stuff because I'm just shooting so much video. If you only go onto the app, it caches all the videos. So
oh, wow.
Just keep saving and saving up to like 18 gigs or something stupid.
Do you have to keep deleting?
No, it's cool. So then all you do is you just plug the drone into your computer and all the lights go up.
Oh, wow.
It's amazing. And then Meowses obviously was just so excited about this, so she was very curious.
Have you shown Sia this drone? I am so impressed by this stuff.
I show Sia things and he looks away.
Not interested?
He gives me that, like...
Did you think it was something dirty, Sia? Is that what you gives me that whatever look?
No, I do not give you that whatever look. I give you whatever looks in other contexts. B, I actually...
Other contexts?
Yeah, in other situations.
Definitely. No, hang on. Like, don't you love drone technology? Dude, it's the best thing in the universe.
Party people,
this is the most exciting technology, I would say, out of the last... Since the mobile phone, drones
really?
are the next best thing.
iPad didn't impress you much?
I mean, come on, Lucas.
It's a big cell phone.
Have you seen this thing?
Yeah, I've seen it, and it's absolutely fantastic.
I know, me too. It's the most amazing, amazing thing to see. And this one that Ben has got can fold into a little... Like, it's tiny. You can carry it around in a backpack, the whole situation. He was taking footage yesterday of this golf course. Where were you?
So I was at Royal Joburg, and it was quite a quiet day because they got two courses there. So I went out in the west by myself, basically.
Beautiful.
And such a beautiful time of year because you got all this sort of autumnal browns coming into like the still lush greens from
Excuse
summer.
Excuse me?
Autumnal browns.
Listen to him. It sounds like a golf commentator, exactly. Right?
Guys, like, you got to say, like,
the autumnal browns.
If you have hobbies and interests in life, right, when can you ever get to a point where they all work together to this magical moment in life? Like yesterday, that was my life. For 2 hours, I was just flying this drone around a golf course I absolutely love. I was hitting balls at the same time. I had the GoPro on the golf cart as well. And it was like, I'm making a video today and I'm so excited about it. Like, I'm so excited about content again.
Beautiful.
I've been doing this for a long time and I sort of felt I was stagnating. And this drone, just like what it shows you, it's just amazing. Because you take your mind to like a different place and you just get happy.
Mm. No, it's, listen, you don't have to trumpet the joys of drone technology to me. I think this is the coolest thing. I'm waiting for them to design passenger versions. I know they've got one that they're trying out in Dubai.
Should be next couple of months is going out, apparently.
What do passenger versions mean?
You can get in and someone who is a professional will fly you from remote distances, you know, because you don't have to be near the drone to fly it. I mean, you can. There are people in America sitting in containers in the Texan desert and they're flying drones that are flying into Afghanistan and bombing people. And they're not even in the same continent.
Oh.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm.
Now, I just learned from a producer, TV producer friend of mine, that you need a license to fly drones.
Yeah, for commercial drone usage, yeah, definitely.
Commercial. So if you're making money out of it, and of course there's certain areas where you can't fly them. You're not allowed to fly them like near an airfield, for example.
I mean, there are some pretty strict rules about built-up areas and that kind of stuff.
Because you can bring down planes and helicopters with these things.
You can become a massive nuisance. And to get one of these licenses is very difficult, very expensive.
But I still do think if I was just doing it in my own personal capacity, like just going into the middle of Sandton and flying a drone, I would need some sort of...
You shouldn't do that.
Yeah, in built-up areas, you'll get into trouble if you do. It can be a problem.
Yeah, look, there's various factors around it. So I wouldn't suggest doing that. But then yesterday, they announced this even smaller drone that's come out now.
Yeah, Ben,
I think the one you should get.
Ben sent me this. It's tiny, and it can do everything that the big ones do.
Yeah, it's got smaller dimensions, so the camera is smaller. Its gimbal is less versatile, I guess. But it's got hand gestures. So, like, it's said to be a selfie drone kind of thing. That's what it's being grouped as. But it flies up decent distances. You get great perspective from where you are, great aerial shots. It's got that come straight home button, so no matter where it is, it'll come straight back to you.
See, that's what worries me. Is like I bought one of these cheap kind of the first generation drones. And if you fly this thing, if you lose control, because sometimes you don't know which way is forward and which way is back, you lose control, and then the thing will fly into a tree, and it's broken.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. And this one, because mine doesn't have any of this high-technology stuff that Ben's does, where it can sense objects, and it can avoid them.
Yeah, there's various things you can sense. I mean, there's like beginner modes where you can literally just get your bearings. There's obstacle avoidance, but the come-home feature is kind of cool.
It's so cool. So where are you going with it? What are you doing this weekend?
This weekend is your
first weekend with the drone.
This weekend I'm editing.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I got great footage yesterday, so I need to edit it all and put it together. Because I don't want to be that guy who just goes and films stuff. It's all about the videos. That's all that counts. So if I've got something, I need to make videos before I can go and get new stuff.
Wow.
Plus, it's my last weekend home alone with meowses. So
is Daniela back?
She gets back on Sunday.
She's been away a while.
Yeah, it was also Dad's birthday this weekend, so she's staying on for a bit. So I need to get as much work done so that when she gets home, I'm free.
Now, yesterday we had the most revealing and amazing conversation with Amanda about what her weekend plans are. I mean, it started off as an innocent question. We discovered things about the East Rand that are just extraordinary. I had no idea about the kinds of things that are going on there. Are you planning for a big weekend?
Yes.
Tell me what the plan is.
Gareth, she already started.
What do you mean?
When I was in the parking lot.
Oh, yeah?
I just heard this car approaching with loud sound playing.
Oh, really? Do you like that? Is that also an East Rand thing, or is that an Amanda thing?
No, that's an Amanda thing.
You like the loud music, huh?
Love it.
You one of those people who had stopped next to the robots and my car would move because of the sound in yours?
You'd probably start dancing to my music.
Oh, very confident.
You know what I love about people like you who have loud music in the car next to me is thank you for choosing for me. Thanks for making a music selection for me. It's always so nice that I don't have any say in this. I'll just pull up next to you and you can choose my music for me. How about that? Don't worry about what I'm listening to. Unreal. Hey, I listened to, because we had that recorded interview yesterday, I had a chance to listen to some radio.
Yeah.
Well,
I did that as well yesterday.
Yes,
it's amazing.
Wow. And we're missing nothing. I have never been so bored because I thought, you know, I'd recorded the interview already, so I knew what we were doing. So I thought, let me listen to what radio is up to. Well, I went through four or five channels. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear anything new, anything interesting. It still sounds the same. It's still got all these jingles that go, you know, 103.4. It's just like 1991 all over again. Honestly, I thought I'd be missing out, but there's nothing happening. It's terrible. Simba's on the line. Is he on Skype or on phone?
Skype.
Okay. Hey, Simba, what's up, bro?
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
Cool. You want to talk about drones? You're in Cali, so in California, you must see these things around all the time, right?
Yeah, actually, it's really funny. I got a Mavic Pro about a month and a half ago.
That's what Ben's got.
Nice. So it's
beautiful.
Yeah, you guys were paying for them down there. You should have just let me know next time you come to the States. I can like, yeah, or we could start a business and we could start selling them.
Well, this is a business because I spoke to two guys a while ago when we did that Dream Tropeneer competition, and they are professional drone pilots because there's such a demand for drone footage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, if you're mapping out construction sites, and before you'd have to have hired a helicopter to do this stuff. And now you can do aerial photography.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, mad. And you can rent out your drone. These people who have these massively expensive ones with very, very good stabilization, and they can go up like a kilometer into the air. And they take the most beautiful pictures.
It's really nuts. I mean, the Mavic alone is...
Are you sure that you're calling...
quality than a lot of these old professional units.
Dude, are you sure that you... I'm not on a line from Afghanistan. It sounds really good down this line.
Oh, really? Is it better there?
It's
Awesome.
Oh, man. That's nice. I'm in Arizona. That's why.
Arizona? What are you doing there?
Work. You know, I travel quite a bit. And I take my Mavic Pro with me everywhere. So I'll stop and try and get footage of the desert and try and find bodies and stuff. But
oh, wow. It's...
and do you ever get into trouble? People tell you, like, not fly in certain areas? Or are you very stealth-like?
I try and be stealth, but then there's a few apps that you want to download. There's one called Drone Buddy that I use, and it tells you whenever I stop anywhere, it tells me exactly where I'm supposed to fly and where I'm not, and if there's an airport nearby, and it gives you like a radar screen, and you can see where you're allowed to fly. So you know, I try and stay pretty good about it. You don't want to get in trouble with the FAA.
Oh no, and especially not the military. I mean, if you went into restricted airspace, they will not only take your drone away, but they'll arrest you and you'll never be heard from again, you know?
And then DJI just recently mandated that every user, I have to register my unit. So if I flew it into an airspace and they took it down, they'd be able to track me down like instantly. So yeah, no messaging around.
Jeez, very serious.
I'm kind of okay with that, because then you don't have other authorities then trying to enforce stuff on you. Mm. So if they're going to be relatively strict and you've got to be responsible, that's cool.
Yeah, you know, it's fine.
What's the highest that you guys can go up with the Mavic thing?
Yeah, Simba, I haven't tried this yet because I'm still learning, but like, what is the highest you've gone?
The highest I've gone is half a mile. I don't fly too high, but I've gone far. I've gone...
Half a mile, 800 meters.
Yeah, I mean, it's far. I mean, I've pushed it up all the way, but I did take it to the furthest distance I could, and it went 4.5 miles, and then it lost signal, and then came back on its own.
That is so awesome.
If it loses signal, it automatically comes back home.
That's God, incredible. I'm excited about this stuff. I love, love, love this technology. It's the most amazing stuff ever.
It's insane.
And where did you do that? Like, what kind of visuals were you getting from that?
So I did it. I just did it like in my neighborhood. So just like in a suburban neighborhood, and just flew it as far across over people's houses. So I got it as high as I could, and I just flew it as far as I could just to see how far it would go. I mean, I was a little nervous because, you know, it's I've been flying it for like a week or so. So I don't know if that's enough time to feel really confident. But I got a little ballsy and I was like, all right, I'm just going to shoot this thing the whole way. And it got pretty far, man. It got 4.4 miles before it started dropping signal. I lost video, and then all of a sudden the remote started telling me that it's coming back home. So it was it's a lot of fun.
That's so awesome that it doesn't get lost. It doesn't like disappear. If you go past its range, then it just decides to, oh well, let me go home to daddy.
Yeah, and
funny kids had that kind of setting.
I just want to make sure.
You're saying to Ben?
Make sure you set your go home height to be as high as possible, because if you set it to come home and it's really low, it's going to fly into a tree, or you know, if it catches leaves or something like that. I mean, it's got the proximity sensors, but you just don't want to take any chances.
Yeah, I agree. It's something I have learned, but it's quite funny you say, like, when you start off, you're quite conservative, and you think, I'm going to get ballsy, because it's so easy to fly. these things make you feel like scary. such a maverick out of nowhere.
Here's something interesting. Someone just sent this in to me on WhatsApp this morning. I read something interesting yesterday about drone usage in the U.S. military. Apparently about 90% of drone attacks do not hit the intended target in the first few months of operation. So obviously it takes you a while to get into how you fly this thing, because a lot of people, they start off and they don't know what they're doing. Is that right?
Yeah. And that's kind of the scary thing. You know, you just don't want one idiot to go and screw it up. So, you know, when I go into places where other people are flying drones, people are pretty conservative about it. And you just don't want to be an idiot, because all it's going to take is one person to have like a really bad accident or, you know, hurt a bunch of people. And all of a sudden it just screws it up for everyone. So, you know, most of the people in the drone community are pretty good about keeping each other in check.
Okay, guys. So what is the plan for the weekend, Simba, this weekend in Arizona?
Okay, so I'm going back home tomorrow, so it's still Thursday night. I'm just finishing up work here, and then we've got Memorial Day weekend, so it's a 3-day weekend. I'm just going to do I'm going to play a bunch of golf and do a bunch of barbecuing.
Nice. Very nice, dude.
Yeah. Nice. And hey, I shot my lowest score last week. I don't know how good you are, Ben, but you sound like you're pretty good. But I broke 80 last week for the first time.
Oh, awesome.
And this means absolutely nothing to you.
Garrett, yeah. But. C and I looking at each other like you're speaking French. It really isn't actually about them. I think that's amazing. Breaking 8 is a huge milestone.
Thank you.
I remember when I did it, I was very excited. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
This is great.
Well, hey, thanks guys for everything. Hey, you guys are doing a great job over there. And I wanted to thank you for Mbali Njomani. I mean, that series was
freaking great, man.
I loved it.
Good stuff, man. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Shout out to Hi Rob and Sarah in Kenya.
There we go. Stop
calling your boss Simba, please. That's awful.
That's beautiful. Hi Rob and Sarah in Kenya, two of our favorites. All right, and there's Simba, one of the other favorites. Listen to this. This is from Carl. He says, that interview yesterday was so frustrating. I've never heard a guest so fluid and flip-floppy ever. He couldn't side any argument and wouldn't give you a definite answer on anything. It was difficult to take him seriously. Really annoying. Carl. Well, I felt the same doing the interview. I mean, he's not an unintelligent guy, but you know, you struggle sometimes to distill what someone actually means.
And they really want you to understand them for the argument to go forward.
Yeah, but sometimes it's not about us understand. It's not like you're difficult to understand. It's that you don't occupy a position. You're trying to be everything to everyone. And you're trying to be so politically correct. And you're trying to say the right thing and do the right thing. And all that it ends up doing is making your whole argument sound stupid.
Well, but, because you don't have one.
Yeah, correct. Exactly. See, but that's what I find a lot of, because, you know, listening to Renegade Report, listening to various interviews here, is that when you like that, nothing ever gets done. So you think, well, if this is going to be the popular stance towards things, we're completely screwed.
Well, trying to be popular is part of the problem. I listened to 10 minutes of the Renegade Report interviewing some chick from ANN7. I can't even remember her name now.
Chelsea something.
Anyway, she, oh my God. I mean, this was just a masterclass in how to not say anything but fill up an hour.
Oh no.
And it was interesting as an intellectual exercise for about 5 minutes, and then I just lost my mind. I couldn't listen to the rest. Because you don't, there is not a single thing that she said that she has thought about properly. She's espoused a whole lot of points of view that she's obviously gone around and chosen things that she think will make her sound interesting. She's done zero research into any of this. She has no historical examples of any of the points of view that she's espoused. And it just sounds like a kid at the dining table with the adults. I've never heard such crap in my life. Ever. It was so talk about frustrating. At least Benny yesterday was smart. This one was not. She's not even smart. I went to visit our oldest listener yesterday. I must tell you about that later on. We're kind of out of time for the moment, but she's not our oldest listener. It turns out she's only 69, but she's...
69 is not old.
It's exactly.
Yeah.
And she's in an old age home in Pretoria, and I thought, and I'm not a kind person. I didn't do this because I'm charitable and full of goodwill. But I went to see her because she'd written...
You make it sound like you were literally pushed into...
No, I didn't feel forced at all. It wasn't like a schlep to go there, but... there was a message to our Facebook page, and it seemed that this was a sweet old lady in Pretoria in an old age home that was a big fan, and she just really wanted to meet me, so I went there, I took her a gift, and spent like, I don't know, 45 minutes, maybe an hour there, and then I came through to work again. So it was very nice to do. I'll tell you all about the experience, I'll tell you about her in a moment or two, but let's get into some news, shall we? You want to find out what's going on in the news?
Yes.
All right. Well, for your listening pleasure, Mubs is running late this morning. It happens to all of us, and I'm in no position to cast aspersions on her. Everyone has been late at least once, and sometimes some of us more than once. But here it is, the news, with Sia and Ben and I holding the fort while Mubs is on her way. Let's go. Are you ready? So, it is Friday today, but Mondays are the big day at Kolkakia Pizzeria. All you need to do if you want to score one of their buy one, get one free deals is on a Monday, all the way until the 31st of August, buy any gourmet pizza and get a second gourmet or classic pizza for free. Available nationwide at all Kolkakia Pizzerias and Mio Kolkakia Pizzerias. That's right, the less expensive pizza is free. In-store or takeaway only, no delivery. T's and C's apply. If you want to find out more, go to kolkakios.co.za. ZA. Don't forget the new stores are up and running. That's Eastgate and Northcliffe in Johannesburg. These guys are spreading like wildfire and people love them. That is the Colcacchio Pizzeria, the only place to go for thin crust, awesome tasting pizza. All right, what's in the news? Who wants to start?
Well, we finally have some emotion from murder accused Henry van Breda.
No.
Finally something. He broke down into, well, he broke down in the middle of the court trial yesterday.
What was the thing that got him to breaking point?
Finally, it was actually the pictures of his family. Yeah, so, you know, they had to review that.
Had to happen, huh?
That's the ticket. He shifted uncomfortably in his seat, went right to the edge of the bench and like hung his head low and didn't want to see them, as the pathologist, Dr. Daphne Anthony, who conducted the autopsies of Martin Rudy and Teresa van Breda, took to the witness stand, confirming that all three died due to the consequences of their traumatic head injuries. There was also a point where Henry actually stepped out of the actual court and sat like on the stairs. Some of his legal representatives had to actually go and find him. So finally, we're actually seeing some sort of emotion and, dare I say, remorse. But hey, let's see then. The autopsy actually did confirm that, yeah, they all died because of their head injuries. And if you want to go into the gruesome details, we can. But it's very, like,
well,
yeah,
I think a lot of people want to know about this stuff. And, you know, if you don't like it, then I suppose you don't have to listen to this little part.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people want to know what went on, because this is obviously integral to the investigation. Because, as I've said before, if you kill someone with an axe, you have to have a lot of motivation. That's a difficult thing to swing around. And they say that the parents, because I saw this on the news last night, the parents tried to defend themselves.
Mm. So according to Dr. Anthony's findings, both Rudy and Martin were alive after the attack.
Oh.
So due to blood being found in their stomachs, indicating that they were still able to swallow.
Oh.
Shucks. Teresa had been facing her attacker when she was hacked. She suffered sharp and blunt head trauma and died fairly quickly, Anthony said. And in addition, she had extensive blood loss, and a defense injury was found on her thumb. The defensive injury was found on her thumb.
What do you do? I mean, what do you...
Basically,
if someone's rushing at you
with... shielding her face.
Yeah, if you rush at someone with an axe, you put your arms up, right?
Oh, man.
How would you defend yourself against an axe? You can't run.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would definitely put your hands up. It would be something of a blocking nature.
Because you're trying to hold onto it. Martin had been hit from behind, suffering head and upper back injuries.
Oh.
And he had no defensive wounds and is suspected to have bled out. Rudy, in addition to his extensive head injuries, also had a wound to his pinky finger, indicating he had tried to protect his head. Whoever did this really was heartless. Anthony was handed the axe used in the murder, noting that the instrument corresponds with the nature of the wounds. Sure. And describing the axe as heavy, she said that the chop wounds were caused by the sharp edge.
Oh.
The quote is, if inflicted with a tremendous amount of force and speed, it is possible to inflict the type of injuries described, she testified.
Imagine being a forensic investigator. I mean, it must be so gruesome.
Well, remember we had those two ladies.
The blood sisters.
Yes.
These two girls. You've got to listen to that interview. It's on cliffcentral.com. Just look up blood sisters.
Maybe we should try to get them back to get their thoughts on this. I know that they don't speculate too wildly, but I mean, they would. I'm sure they've seen similar cases.
Well, and also, I guess they need the pictures, or they need to see something.
Yeah, but you know they've got context here. I reckon they're on a WhatsApp group with people that are going, oh, yes, you see that Henry van Breda thing? And then there's pictures in the WhatsApp group.
It's vicious.
Man. So, yeah, whoever really did this, I really do feel like you were heartless beyond belief. You know, I still do believe, you know, if you shoot someone from a distance, that's one level of wrong. But to inflict wounds and to see someone...
And nothing was stolen.
Jerk and
So nothing was stolen from the house. And these parents ended up with these, and then the brother, with these horrific injuries.
Mm.
And the only one who survived was Henry, and then his sister, who they didn't know that she'd survived because she also had some trauma. I mean, it's just unbelievable. This whole story is frightening.
So in Marley's case, Marley's wounds also corresponded with the injuries sustained by her parents and her brothers, but factors which could have led to her survival include her age, as younger people will survive longer, as well as severity of her wounds and the amount of blood lost.
Jeez.
Yeah, the then 16-year-old appeared to have had a more severe altercation with the attacker and had a variety of defensive wounds. And so it's such a surprise that she actually survived.
But we really are getting to the crux of the whole thing now, because, again, even if you are so stone cold, you see those images, like you say, Sia, that's going to make anyone crack. Because you're going to have flashbacks.
Especially if you're the son.
At some stage, even if you hate your family, at some stage there is a real affinity that you have with these people. And if you see like something like that...
Even if you don't have feelings for your family, like you feel, uh-oh, this is going to get me into trouble. This is bad for me. It's me. You know, you go into survival mode.
And, you know, as we revealed a few weeks ago, there was so much blood. It was like it was flowing down the stairs, like in The Shining.
Oh, yeah. What a horrible story. All right, what else is going on?
Okay, well, Julius Malema has come out and said that if men don't want to be labeled as trash, they must change their behavior. So speaking at the Africa Day session yesterday,
EFF held some big rally in town.
Yeah, he did address this whole men are trash thing.
Yep.
And it just shows that Julius is, well, he's getting diverse, huh? In the beginning, it was just about nationalizing mines and that kind of stuff. Now he's talking about some real close-to-home issues.
Can we just point out that the nationalization of mines thing has almost completely disappeared from their agenda?
Yeah, I have noticed that.
Oh. The EFF, the DA, and Solidariteit are also taking Brian Molefe, Lynn Brown, and who else was it? Ben Gubane to court, as we discussed with Justice yesterday. They're taking the three of them to court to find out what's really happened at Eskom. Something's coming out here because the president suddenly jumped to yesterday and said, oh, no, we're going to start our own investigation. Mm. Obviously, he's trying to shift, you know, the story so that he can control it. Because I think everybody's very worried. As Justice said yesterday in the Burning Platform, and if you missed it, you can go and download that too. Justice Malala said that this is the key to figuring out who is really behind all of this stuff. In state capture, is it really the Guptas? Is there a more powerful person involved?
There's always more, isn't there? There's always like a kind of a fall guy and like a convenient scapegoat.
Mm.
But there's got to be more. There's a lot of string pulling here.
Hmm.
Anyway, so Julius was saying that the death of Karabo Mokoena definitely has been, the person accused of killing her has been misrepresenting SA men, but instead of fighting this hashtag, we must all collectively get together and prove it to be wrong. But in a contrasting story, three female rapists are being sort of, there's a big search out for three female rapists. A young man from Nelmapius, he got into a taxi on Friday, and there were three female occupants of the taxi. He was then told to get into the front of the taxi. He was injected. He woke up in a strange room. He was forced to drink an energy drink, and he was repeatedly raped by these three women for the rest of the day.
Yes.
So he's completely traumatized from all of this, and the police are now looking for these three women.
Where in Nelmapius? Where's that?
Pretoria.
East of Pretoria.
Yeah, listen, this is a horrible story, but this is these are rare occasions compared
sure.
to, you know, what happens to women every day in this country. So I don't know who, this is probably because in the context of what we're talking about in the last few days and this whole Karabo Mokoena thing, this is it's like a related story. It's an also and. But don't for a minute start thinking that this is happening all over.
I mean,
men are suddenly being targeted to be raped by three women. I mean, who are these voracious women who, women can get any man they want anytime. It's not hard. And I don't want to be glib about this, but I've heard these stories before. I don't doubt for a moment that there's violence. I don't doubt for a moment that this is a kind of sexual molestation and that it's not good. I mean, anytime anything happens to you against your will, that to me is a kind of assault. But let's not try and make this sound like it's the same as raping a woman. It's a different thing. It's a totally different thing.
And I'm ready to side-eye whichever guy now wants to start, women are trash too.
Yeah, definitely not.
There's going to be someone, watch.
It's just a very strange story to come up here, obviously being put out there. But the police say they're taking all sexual crimes seriously, which in itself, I guess, is reassuring. But yeah, a strange story.
All right, well, let's leave it there and go to sport with Ben. Let's see what's going on in the world of sport.
Sorry, I've got one news story, which is quite important, Gareth. Okay. It's down to the last 10% of the water in Cape Town.
Oh, shit.
So what they're actually doing is they're creating...
10%?
They're creating... It's a reserve supply, basically. So they're constructing a canal and sort of weir system, which could result in 11 to 14 weeks of water. That's pretty much what they got left now. And the local government has come out and said, you know, people can criticize the fact the government hasn't done enough, but they really have. They spent around $315 million on emergency schemes. And yesterday, Patricia DeLille, she conducted a prayer meeting on the foot of Table Mountain with religious leaders praying for rain.
That's great. That's going to help.
It has got to that. There is an official prayer meeting at the foot of Table Mountain.
That's ridiculous. 10% left.
Yes, Gareth, it really is. Like I said, optimistically, it's going to be about 11 to 14 weeks. And this construction will stay in place just so that, you know, for future dry spells, it is there. So they can channel every last remaining drop into the water system.
Well, let's not worry about future ones, because if it carries on like this, there isn't going to be a future for Cape Town.
Yep.
All right, let's get into some sport.
Right, so it is the big week... or the APSA Premiership. Now, we all know that Bidvest's already won this one.
Yep.
So many have kind of turned off, but we've got to look at the survival, right? So if you look from 12 downs, 12 to 16, that is Bloem Celtic, 28 points, Chipper, 27, Free State Stars, 27, Highlands Park, 26, and Baraka, 25. One of those teams is automatically going to go into the abyss of the next division, right?
What do they call that next division? It's got a name, but nobody cares.
It's the national...
It's called the Oblivion Division, right?
Bermuda Division of Soccer.
Bermuda Triangle of Soccer.
Yeah, it's a pit, Gareth. It's a pit. For these guys, it's Premier League or nothing. I mean, you can survive, but once you get there, it's murky territory. Because if you drop again, well, you can become a Morocco Swallows. If you remember who they are. Okay, so one of the teams I just mentioned there is going straight down to the drop zone, right? Then the next two then take on the best two from the first division. Sorry, the second and third best from the first division in a relegation battle. Now, we'll get to that closer to the time, but that's essentially how this thing works. So the best team in the National First Division goes straight up to the top flight. Right. Worst team straight down, as in this case. So what is the fate of those teams? Well, if you were to look at the fixtures for the weekend, we've got Golden Arrows versus Orlando Pirates. So those teams are safe, no biggie. SuperSport United, Platinum Stars, all these games will be at 3 o'clock, just like in the English Premier League, all matches at the same time, so there's no match fixing or skullduggery. Polokwane City will take on Cape Town City, Chiefs versus Wits, Ajax versus Baraka. So there's the first game that comes into it for the relegation. Ajax looking to cement a top 8 place. They had a really rocky start to the season, but they come back beautifully. So Baraka away there, not looking good for them. Of course, they are the ones that are stone cold bottom. So they need all three. They have to get all three. There's nothing around it. They have to get all three.
Sure.
The same could be said for Highlands Park, and they'll be playing at home against Sundowns. Now, Sundowns back to winning ways in the CAF Champions League. Can't see them wanting to lose any momentum whatsoever in the team's colours right now. So Highlands Park also looking very doubtful for any sort of points there. Then we've got Free State Stars hosting Chipper United. Okay, so Free State Stars are 14th. Chipper United, 13th. So that is going to be a fight to the death there. It's all very interesting. Then we've got Maritzburg United versus Bloem Celtic. So Maritzburg, again, is a team that's done quite well this year after being pretty ropey the year before. Mm. So Bloem Celtic, again, not a great chance of getting points. So all the relegation battle teams here, all of them have got really, really tough assignments. But again, that's why they're at the bottom, because every team is a tough assignment for them. But none of them are really looking like clear-cut three-pointers. So that is going to be one hell of a shake-up. It could come down to goal difference. If it is goal difference, Chipper right now are looking the best. But wow. The stress and the pressure is going on right now. Not an easy time for any of those teams, because once you go out there, you know, it's an employment thing after all. This is why people cry and they get upset, because once you fall out there, it's not like the other teams are necessarily going to pick you up for Premier League soccer next year.
No,
coaches are going to be in trouble.
And the money just flows away. Like, you don't get sponsorships, yeah. You don't get any support. People don't come to your games.
It's a big step down. I mean, if your girlfriend breaks up with you today, right, there's a good chance within a month or two you could probably find someone of a similar caliber, because that's life, right?
Unless you really let yourself go.
But if you get dropped, if you get broken up with by this kind of thing, the next step is just, that's awful. So there's FA Cup action at 6:30 Saturday. It's Arsenal versus Chelsea. Now, Chelsea have won the league in the English Premier League. They're going to the Champions League next year. So much confidence, so much happiness. And then there's Arsenal. They're going to the Europa League next year. So much no happiness. And they've won nothing else. And they finished outside the top four for the first time, obviously, hence the Europa League spot. Arsene Wenger is, well, there's all uncertainty about the future. There was all these rumors that the club was going to get sold. Arsenal Fan TV is not helping any of this by just a whole bunch of bitching and moaning. So this is now or never for Arsenal.
How's our friend Claude? He must be furious.
Zero hair, and Claude's going to drop dead one of these days.
I mean, he gets fired up when a referee makes a bad decision. For this relegation to happen, he must be beside himself.
I reckon they actually are postponing Wenger's new contract just so that Claude can get in some decent health in the summer. Because if they were to say, Arsene Wenger's down for another 3 years, Claude will drop dead. Arsenal will have a death on their hands, and it probably will be filmed, and it will be on YouTube. So I don't think they need that press right now.
Poor guy.
So that'll be 6:30, Chelsea versus Arsenal at Wembley. It's going to be a huge, huge, huge fixer. So after you've seen sort of this bun fight in the Premiership here in South Africa with these bottom teams fighting for survival, you can click over to that, and it's going to be very, very exciting. Going to think, I don't know, like Chelsea just had this huge high, right? Arsenal, all they care about is this game. It's all that matters right now. It's their biggest thing for the year. I'm going to go with Arsenal on this one. But then again, whenever I've done that, it hasn't gone particularly well.
And you're an Arsenal fan.
I am, unfortunately, yeah.
What can we do?
So tomorrow the Proteas get to redeem themselves. They're playing against England. That'll be 12 o'clock South African time. They were hammered, completely outplayed, as Abby de Villiers said, in the first game against England. So everyone's got a fire for this one. It'll be played at Southampton. And then the third one will take place on Monday. So a very, very quick shot, because, of course, the 3rd of June is SA's first game in the Champions Trophy. They'll take on Sri Lanka. All in rugby news, well, Gareth, has happened.
What?
Nolas will not be coaching the Super Rugby team next year.
Really?
Yeah, John Mitchell's come in. Nolas has obviously been shaking like a shitting dog of late, thinking he's going to get fired at any given stage. But he's actually got a future in the union, Gareth, so don't you worry. I saw you getting very upset there. Nolas, they've invested a lot of time and effort into Nolas, huh? 6 years in the system. He's come up through the ranks, but John Mitchell has come in now. He's going to be the head honcho for the Bulls. He's going to turn it all around with his no-nonsense, I-will-punch-your-face attitude. He is going to probably be the best thing for this team. Nolas will return to his prime sort of responsibility of Currie Cup rugby. Yep. Nurturing the youth, getting them up there. And he'll still be part of the managerial board. So he'll still make meetings. I wouldn't say he'll make decisions, but he'll make meetings. So John Mitchell, that's his future. He went to America after he was sort of pushed out of the Lions. There, of course, was many rumors about him being the next BOC coach, but that was never going to happen. So that is how the Bulls are going to shape up, and they're very excited about that.
All right.
ICC are making a couple of changes. They want T20 TV umpiring to get into the game. Now, in the ODI game and the test match game, you can get all the different reviews and the TV umpire gets very involved. But for T20 purposes, hasn't really happened. I think it's because they want to keep the flow of the game really fast, but it is going to come into play. They also want to limit the size of the bats, and I'm totally all for this. Just like in golf, they should limit the...
What, you mean they've been getting bigger?
The bats have been getting bigger and bigger, Gareth. So much so, Sia could probably hit a six with a current bat.
I don't know that Sia never, you know, was unable to do that.
A six is a good thing, right?
Yeah.
Well, there we go.
I can hit that.
It's all doubt thrown out the window. Thank you, Sia. So, yeah, this is great. Quite an exciting step, because I just think sometimes, I know people go to cricket to go watch sixes and go watch lots of runs, but it's a bit of a mockery towards bowlers who do essentially try harder in this game. And the guy misses his length by a millimeter. The guy swings, doesn't time it, but he still gets a six. It's crazy. You see in the T20 game, these bats are gigantic and it's not fair. And it is kind of just like cheating, I guess. So you want to get skill back in the game. Of course, back in the days of cricket when men were men, they were just literally using like things they used to beat their children with. Very thin, small pieces of willow.
It's just a piece of wood.
It wasn't great. It's
a chunk of wood.
Chunks and like sort of honed in certain areas for power. Now it's like, wow, it looks like an aircraft carrier. So those are some of the things. And ICC also really, really wants that test match championship. I mean, this has been thrown around more than that whole Mayweather-McGregor fight, but they really do. They're going to make that test match championship happen. And everyone will be hugely excited. Chinese football looks to be curbing the influx of foreign players by saying that they want to have a 100% foreign player tax. Wow. So what this means is that they want the money to be invested in the grassroots football. They want to develop Chinese football.
Wow.
So when they get Didier Drogba for, say, £50 million or €50 million, whatever it is, then the Chinese authorities are saying, cool, but you got to pay £50 million tax on that as well. So suddenly it's now cost double to get these players in because they're trying to discourage all this. Because a lot of money is going to these players and not to Chinese football.
That's one way to develop local talent. Make it expensive for foreign talent to come in.
And, well, you know, call me a touch of an historian, but when China wants to do something,
it usually happens.
Get things done, huh? Well, a lot of arguments. When China does stuff, you don't often see appeals and committees being set up to see if we can get another angle.
People do what they're
told. You do it, you get on with it, and that's it. The big game for the weekend on Super Rugby is going to be the Sharks versus the Stormers at the Shark Tank. That will be at 5 o'clock on Saturday. The Lions will take on the Kings, Hoppers 2 on Sunday. And then from there, the Cheetahs, they'll take on the Sunwolves at 7:05 on Saturday. And then at 3 o'clock, Bulls fans, well, brace yourselves. It's the Hurricanes.
You're saying it's going to be a whitewash?
I'm saying they probably won't win that one, Gareth.
Okay, I think that's a fair assessment.
But you know what? You must go to Loftus and show your support for Nolas. He's having a tough week. He's just lost his big gig.
Nolas.
He's been downgraded. Basically, he's already lost his relegation battle.
Standard of Poor's, Moody's, all said down.
So just go to Loftus with a big banner, Je suis Nolas.
Shame.
Make it happen.
All right, thank you, Ben. There's a look at the sport. Let's get to Anthea. So I was on CNBC last night at about, 7 o'clock, somewhere around there. They had an interview. In fact, we recorded it like a month or two ago. Mm-hmm. And they played it out yesterday on CNBC. So I went on and I explained what we're doing with hashtag invest and said how fantastic Anthea was. And she didn't even see it last night. She missed the whole thing.
I'm sorry, Gareth. That's because I was working.
Oh, okay.
Hard for my money.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, listen. What's going on? What's happening with this no raising of interest rates?
Yeah, so the MPC told us yesterday that they're keeping the repo rate unchanged at 7%. So your consumer rate is still.
Hello. Hi.
Is that they revised their GDP growth downwards by 0.2%. So for this year, they're expecting 1%. And next year, 1.5% GDP growth. So pretty much more in line with the IMF, who also downgraded our growth recently. And I guess that's the big story. You know, I mean, it does look like things are going in a kind of working for us. The rand is still below 13 to the dollar. From Moody's yet. And I think we're all very excited that potentially we could get a rate cut this year. But the rand, Lesetja Kanyago said yesterday that the rand is still very volatile, and it could turn in a heartbeat. But fingers crossed that we carry on like this, and then maybe we'll get lucky.
Do you think that forecast, though, is probably right? I mean, it does project a positive outlook for next year, small as that positive outlook may be, 1.5%. But are you kind of in agreement about that?
I'm not sure, Gareth. We have seen numbers coming through from the local retailers. So we've had yesterday Tiger Brands, Massmart gave us a trading update, a whole lot of stuff. And the numbers really do not look great. Yeah? So Tiger Brands yesterday,
this line is
share was
terrible.
Up 7%.
Yep. Sorry, you keep breaking up and then going away and then coming back. Say that again, Tiger
strange.
Brands? No. Please try and get a better line back for Anthea. This is terrible. I don't know what the hell's going on there. Is our internet connection problematic or is it hers? Ours looks all right.
Gareth, it's always quite difficult. But while we take this moment, what the hell is happening with Bitcoin? It's just absolutely crazy how this is going up and up and up and up and up.
Bitcoin has doubled its value since the beginning of the year. Doubled. If you had one Bitcoin at the beginning of this year, your value of that one Bitcoin is now double what it was in January.
But I heard if you bought, 2010, $100 worth, you're now in the millions.
Mm.
Like it's absolutely...
Oh, no, it's massive. We'll talk to Anthea about it in a second.
Like it's mind-blowing what you could have. Like Vinny Linger must be...
Oh, yeah. He gave me a bit last year of a Bitcoin, which means it's like a, you know, like a cent to a rand, basically. Mm-hmm. And I think that must be worth 16 times what it was then. Anthea, you back? Anthea, hello? Can you hear us?
Why can't you hear
me? There we go. I can hear you.
Oh, okay. I could hear you clearly all the way through.
I'm sorry. Okay, we were talking about Tiger Brands, and then Ben raised a question about Bitcoin. We can get back to that later, but finish with Tiger Brands quickly.
Yeah, so Tiger Brands was much weaker than expected results yesterday. Revenue and headline earnings per share was up 7%. They've got quite a positive outlook, but, you know, it's just not great. And then Massmart also, they put out their trading statement for the first 21 weeks of their financial year. And, in fact, they saw a sales decline of 2%, so that's even worse. And the worst thing about the Massmart result is that actually that was their first quarter trading update, and Easter fell outside of the first quarter. So they should have seen a much better first quarter, because Easter, normally the sales are lower, actually. And so, yeah, I think that 1% GDP growth that the Saab is expecting, it could potentially be lower. Yeah, they might have to revise it down again. But we saw that all of last year, right? We started out at 1.8, I think, and then all the way, just every 2 months, kept revising downwards. I think what will help is the fact that the rand is so much stronger.
Mm. And has maintained and been resilient throughout some very, very severe crises.
Indeed. I mean, the stronger rand does make it a little bit difficult to invest at the moment, because when the rand is weaker, the rand hedge stocks rally immediately and perform quite nicely, but then the consumer comes under pressure because of inflation, and then, of course, discretionary spend is decreased. And then when the rand is stronger, what we're seeing is that the local shares are not performing as well as they do, because the economy is not growing, and so we're just not seeing the earnings coming through from the likes of Tiger Brands and Massmart, for example.
Hmm. Can we talk about Bitcoin? Ben raised it just a moment ago. The value of a Bitcoin has doubled since the beginning of the year, but altogether, as Ben said, if you'd bought one in 2010, if you'd bought $100 worth of Bitcoin in 2010, you would be a millionaire now.
I was told, we had this discussion in the office the other day, and I was told not to cry over spilt milk. And I could have just as easily bet my $10 on red or black. So the problem with Bitcoin is that we don't understand the fundamentals clearly enough. And so I think if I was a trader or watching my screen today, I would probably in Bitcoin, but I can't see clear of portfolio.
I can't see clear of this call. We're having such problems on this line. Anthea, we'll leave it at that, because otherwise I'm going to get frustrated and throw something, and that's never a good sign. And it is Friday, so let's relax. Anthea Gardner, a look at the money shot this morning. Apologies for the shitty line. We'll try to sort that out for the next time, make sure we figure out exactly what's going on over there.
Gareth, it's actually doubled its value in the last 25 days.
You're kidding.
No. And a lot of it's got to do with the fact that Japan is now really, really behind it. Japan, as you know, lots of population. Mm-hmm. And it's becoming widely accepted as like a currency around the world now as well. You'll see places popping up all overseas saying Bitcoin accepted here. And yeah.
Well, it is. I mean, you can pay for a lot of stuff now online in Bitcoin when you never were able to before. All right, but it is 7 o'clock. Let's get our morning off to a good start. For those people who have just woken up and just joined us, let's get the day going for them. All right, are you ready? Here's Mabale's song to welcome her back this morning. Hello, Mabs.
Oh, hello. Hi. Yes, sorry I'm late.
No problem. Here's your song that I played for you the other day that you loved.
Oh, yes.
Thank you. Issues.
I'm jealous. I'm overzealous. CliffCentral.com.